So tonight, so they're gonna do the family and children, good enough parenting in that class for those who have parents, just to help each other, just to help their kids. But in here, we're gonna talk about conversion. We're gonna talk about what it is to convert people. How to convert people? What do we need to do as far as converting people? And I really feel like this is a very important topic that we need to discuss in here, so that we can help our friends, our families, our coworkers, to really get to see God better. So tonight, I want to just go over a few things. So it's going to be an 8-week series, and so we're gonna have a lot of interaction in here. So this class is not me just talking, but I want you guys to have feedbacks, because I really believe that we learn a lot from each other. There's some stuff that you do that I may not know, or things that I do that you might think, oh, I can try that. And so I think we're going to be a very interactive group in here, and then I'm going to give you guys homework. So it's a class, but it's like we're going to do these homework, and they're not hard or anything like that. But I think as we do them, I think we'll be more in touch of how we can help people convert to Jesus here. So that's kind of what we're going to be doing this next 8 weeks. So what we're going to do today is the first and second week, we're going to just do an introduction and really laying the foundation. For this week and next week, we're going to just lay the foundation. And then the third to fifth week, we're going to actually go into the study guide itself, and kind of just break down what we need to draw out things. We're not going to go to every scriptures, but I think we're going to go to different studies or just different thoughts that we can really hold on to. So we're going to have Bible discovery and the how-tos. How to do this, how to be in study, what to look for. That would be third to the fifth week. And then the sixth and the seventh week, we're going to have conversion stories. So we're going to have people actually come up here and tell their conversion story. And what is it that really got you? Because we have a lot of people from different places. We some of us grew up Catholic. Some of us grew up in the mountains. Some of us know nothing about God. And so we're going to have different people share how did they get converted, or when did their heart change? And so we're going to hear things like that. So it kind of helps us to be able to help other people who are walking in different path than us. And then at the end, the week 8, I feel like this is a very important thing. I call it Now It Begins. It's baptism. What happens after baptism? What do we do after baptism? I think sometimes, we think baptism is the end. Baptism is the end. No, actually, baptism is the beginning. So we're just working to the beginning, and that, that's a whole new chapter of life in front of you. So we're going to talk about what is in store after baptism, okay? So tonight, we're going to talk about just the foundation. Now, how many of you guys own a home, own a house?
It's a bank.
Right? Okay. Now, when people start building your house, what do you think they look for? Like, what are some things they look for?
Rocks.
Rocks, okay. They don't want to build on a rock, right? What else?
Trees.
What? Trees, you got to clear the trees, right? Okay.
Like population growth and disbursement.
Okay. Big words. Okay.
Foundation, you need sewage and water lines.
Okay, you got to put the sewage pipe, right?
Barb? Make sure it's not on a floodplain.
Make sure it's not on a floodplain. You don't want to be buying flood insurance, right? How much it's going to cost, right? You're thinking, I'm going to build this house, and I only have 10 grand in the bank. Well, how far can 10 grand go, right? So you need to make sure, do I have enough money to build this thing? What else do you look for when you try to build?
What's the floor plan? What's the house going to be?
Right. You're going to think, Do I want a two-story? Do I want a one-story? How many rooms? Where's the bathroom going to be? You know, you're going to have people draw out the plan so you can see where it's going to go at. Who else? What do you do when you're building a house?
You consult your wife.
You consult your wife? That's a smart guy. Yeah, right? Okay.
I mean, you got to make sure you've got in line who you're going to get to do what. Because you got electricians, you got people who are really foundation, you have people who are the floors, you have people who are carpets in. So you got to make sure you have it all lined up, what companies are going to use for what.
Right. Exactly. I think the order, right? It's like you don't want the electrician to come out when the foundation is not laid yet. They're going to say, it's not ready for us. And so you're going to have to think about the order of putting your house together. But I think more than anything else, the foundation is so crucial. It's so crucial. If your foundation is like this, you're going to build your house and your house is going to slant. And everything's going to roll this way, you know, or this way. Or your house, if you don't build the foundation right, there'll be a crack in the foundation. And you will have a lot of issue with that crack as you live in that house years after years. That crack is going to eventually break apart, break your house, break a pipe, break something, right? So you got to make sure the foundation is very, very right. And so... So today, I just want to talk about the foundation. I just want to talk about the foundation of conversion. And so that I think if we get the foundation right, then we can start to build. We can't just start putting things up when we have no foundation. You know, we got to put the foundation, we got to strategize, we got to make sure we clear the land, we got to put the pipe, we got to lay the foundation so that when we start building the house, it will not fall. Look at Psalms verse 42. Psalms 42. Can I get someone to read Psalm 42, 1 and 2? Go ahead, Art.
As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God?
Okay, thanks. You know, as the deer pants for water. You know, imagine you're running. You know, I don't know if you guys, you know, how many of you likes to run? You guys are runners? Don't like to run? You don't like to run when you're being chased, right? Okay. You know, I imagine like these guys are running and just like a deer, it's panting for water. It's like, I gotta have some water. I'm thirsty. All my muscles are aching. I need to have water. And you know, the truth is, you know, you may have water today, but you're gonna need water tomorrow, right? You're not gonna drink. I've drank enough for this week today. You're gonna need some more tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day. So water is essential. Essential that we, you know, it's talking about this deer's panting, wanting water. You know, and it talks about God. How our soul is thirsty for God. Am I really panting? Am I thirsty for God? Do I have enough of God for the rest of the week or the month? I need God today. And I need God tomorrow, and I need God the next day. I'm thirsty. You know, I think that's the thing. Conversion starts with you. It starts with you. It's not people. It's not so-and-so. Conversion starts with you being connected to God. Okay? I think it's crucial that we get our fill with God. He is the living water. When can I do this? I want to do this. You know, it's not about perfection. I don't think God wants us to be perfect. I don't think we can be perfect. Our sinful nature. You know, but I think God wants us to progress, to be more like Him, to have His characteristics, and to change and to progress. And I think that's what conversion really starts with you, with me and you, on a daily basis. Thirsting for God, just like a deer pants for water. You know, so my question is, you know, we need to get connected with God. So How do you connect with God? What are some ways you connect with God? How do you connect with God?
Singing.
Nadia, sorry.
Singing.
You sing in your car. You sing at home.
Everywhere.
Sing everywhere. Music is awesome. I think it moves your heart, moves your mind, and it gets you close. How else?
Prayer.
John? Prayer. What does that mean? What do you?
When you pray, you communicate with God. So you want to talk to Him, and then you want to listen and hear back from Him. So that's, so vital.
It's crucial, right? Yes. You know, here's how I pray. I'm crazy, right? I have a notebook next to me. And as I'm praying, things come to my mind. I'm like, then I'm praying again. Because, it's like when your spirit is talking and when you're praying to God, He revealed things. And you're like, if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget it. So I got a notebook next to me while I'm praying, and I'm writing things down. I'm praying. And you might not do this, but this is me. I'm fighting so hard when I'm praying. Because my mind is wondering. It's thinking about all these things. Things I got to do. It's like, what are you doing? Come back and pray. I'm fighting in my mind so hard to concentrate on praying. And it's hard. Like I've shared with you before, I'm praying. I'm driving my car. I'm praying. I end up at Walmart, And I'm thinking, what am I doing here? Your mind's wandering. And it's so hard to focus. So, praying. Who else? How do you connect with God? See?
I like nature. So there's a spot on my porch where I can sit and I'm sort of looking at the woods in the backyard. And I like to pray and read the Bible there if the weather permits. And then the same way at work, I go to work early and have a quiet time. There's a park right next to my office.
Right.
And I can walk over there. And if it's too cold in the winter or something like that, my office on the 40th floor, I can sit right by the window, and I'm looking out. I can see Kennesaw Mountain.
Wow.
I can see the sky.
Wow.
I just love connecting with nature when I'm trying to be close to God.
Yeah, yeah. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful in the summer, in the spring, in the winter. It's still so beautiful. If you look out, and you have that spot, I hope you have a spot that you go to, whether it's in your house, whether it's outside, that you just connect with God. Find a spot that you go. I used to work at this company in Norcross, and it was in a boiler room, but nobody goes in there. So I would go in there and I would sing and I would read my Bible, and I would have the girls come, when they come visit the company, I'm like, hey, let's look at my spot. So we go in and check my spot. So that's where you pray, right? Ray? Yeah, that's it. And it's great to have your spot, right? I think we need to have a spot. We can connect that way. Who else? How else do you connect with God?
I like quiet. Like first, I guess it's like meditating. Like before I'm really praying, I'm just quiet. For however long it takes. And I'm just thinking about God. I'm thinking about, I don't know, whatever it is. I'm just thinking about my love for God and God. Mm-hmm. But I just like to, it's like I have to decompress because throughout the day I pick up, for me it's just I pick up so many different things, like people's emotions and noise, and so quiet and silence.
great. Quiet, time to think, time to reflect. Robert?
I get coffee first. And then I put on a epic movie soundtrack in the background, and I listen to a sermon with the movie soundtrack. So, I feel like I'm in a movie as I'm listening to the sermon.
Yeah.
And it adds this element of conquering the world.
Amen.
Awesome.
There you go.
Awesome. That's great. That's great, Mary.
I'll answer it. And I just begin to meditate, what is it to delight yourself in the Lord? And I think that's what she's saying. It's like, what is it? You're not really doing anything.
Yeah.
It's like sitting in His presence.
Right.
Thank you. This is a good explanation.
Right. You ever sit, you ever read a scripture and you're just like, whoa. It blows your mind. You just sit there and you, I love doing this thing too, but there's something about reading in this book that you're just like looking at it's black and white and you're like, oh my goodness, it's just so deep. And you just sit there and you just stare at it and it just let it those words sink in. That's great. Lawrence?
I think for me, because I'm like studious by nature, so just staying out scriptures, I like just taking one scripture from the Bible and taking it apart and looking for definitions and whatnot, it really helps me to like try and break down what God is saying.
Sure, sure. Yeah, breaking it down, make it more tangible. You know, because sometimes it's so high up there, we're like, I don't know how to do that, but as we break it down, it's more tangible that I can do things. Good.
I like to reflect on things that God has done for me, specifically some miracles that I know that He had me picked out for, either things in the past or being able to sit quietly and see what He's doing for me now.
Mm-hmm.
That's
great, reflecting on what God has done for you. Those things are great. I think take some of these ideas, and maybe I need to change it up. You know how sometimes when you're in this relationship and it's getting stale, and you feel like, oh man, it's a relationship. You got to put effort in a relationship, right? If I tell my wife, hey honey, I love you, and never do anything until next year, she would think, something's wrong with this guy. You know, we got to invest. Invest, change it up, make it fresh, connect with God. So that's what I'm talking about, connecting with God. On an emotional level, I think that's important. I think sometimes it's all up here. Mm-hmm. It's all in our mind and intellectually. But I think we got to connect to God in an emotional level. And I know when you feel the love of God, if you feel how much He loves you, you're so deep that I know that we've gone to the place where we're in tears about how much God loves us and how much our sin hurts Him. You know, I think we got to connect to God on an emotional level. So try. Take some of these things and try. And so, you know, because the thing is, we want to draw near to Him. You know, what do you guys think, what does it mean to draw near to God? What does it mean for us to draw near to Him?
I guess for me, the challenge is relying too much on my emotions. Because there are days when I'm like, oh, I feel really good. I feel really close to God. And there are days where I'm like, oh, I don't feel close to Him. So I'm like, I'm not going to pray or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I really have to fight to be near to Him. So fight to read my Bible, fight to pray.
Sure.
Even on days where I feel like, oh, I'm just like talking to the air. I still
right.
have to fight to be near to Him.
Right. Have you guys ever done that when you're reading and you're like, I'm not getting anything? But you keep pushing and pushing, and you find something, you know. Not relying on emotion sometimes, you know, because our emotion can take us places that, you know, we might not want to go. But relying on the source, Malachi.
I think the times that I really feel like I draw near to God is when I humble myself, and I think of the tax collector and the Pharisee, where the tax collector just realized his need for God.
Yeah.
And that really makes me. Just humbled and just in awe of Him.
Right.
Almost sad. It's like a very melancholy thing for me to get near to God, because it's like, wow, I can't be without You.
Right, right. Your need, you feel that need. And our pride just, puts, God at arm's length. You know, but when you're humble, you let Him in. And it creates an atmosphere. Like I said, it's a relationship. You know, it's a relationship. So it draws you near to Him. I think about obedience. You know, obedience is drawing near to God. You know, sometimes I'm like, man, I'm tired. I don't know if I want to come to church. You know, have you guys ever thought that? Like, man, I have a long day. I don't know. I'm just going to skip church tonight and go do something else. But obedience. Seek first the kingdom. Obey. You know, hate what he hates and love what he loves. You know, what is it that God hates? I need to hate those things. You know, friendship with the world is enemy towards God. What does He hate? What does He love? Being in tune. You know, sharing our deepest desire and struggle with Him in prayers. You know, as we're struggling in prayers, sharing with him our thoughts. You know, it's a sin that keeps coming up and keep coming up. I'm like, God, I don't know if I can overcome this thing. I'm just not. I keep tripping at the same thing over and over. You know, talking to him in desperation, expressing our love to him by acts of loyalty, sacrifice, and service to others. You know, as we think about others, as we serve one another, as we sacrifice our time and our effort and even our money to help serve each other, it's expressing our love towards God. So, you know, some of the things that, you know, like I said here, conversion starts with us. It starts with us getting close to God. Okay, so that's the foundation that you and I, we have to get close to God. So my question here is so what is conversion? How do you know when someone is converted? How do you know? How do you know someone's converted to God, to Jesus? Go ahead.
Meeting. I would say it starts with a change in desire.
Okay.
So not just, hey, they're doing something different, but they desire righteousness.
Okay.
So a change of heart.
Yeah, change of their heart, change of what they're thinking and what they're desiring. Who else? How can you tell if someone's truly converted to Jesus? Kim?
I think of is a change in their actions. Like they start doing things that I guess Jesus would do. Their lives just look differently from what they're doing.
Okay. Imitating Jesus, having characteristics of Jesus. Last part.
Changing their priorities.
Changing priorities, right? Things that they used to do that, you know, now they're switching, changing the priority here.
They start showing more love for one another.
Okay. There's more love. Okay. How else? Who else? Well, look at John chapter 4. We're going to camp here for just a little bit. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 23. Here's something I want you guys to just think about. John chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when a true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. For God is spirit, and his worshiper must worship in spirit and in truth." What do you guys think about this scripture? What does it say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what God is looking for, right? A true worshiper. What does it say about a true worshiper?
They worship in spirit and in truth.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. I think, you know, it talks about spirit and truth. You know, spirit is talking about your heart, your mind, just your desire. You're worshiping, that's what God wants. A true worshiper is somebody whose heart, his mind, everything about him's priority is towards God in spirit. And then in truth, you gotta know the truth. You can't just, you know, a person who is worshiping in spirit but does not have truth, what is that? You're just an emotional experience, right? You're just a good emotional experience, and that's it. Because you don't have the truth. Well, what about if you have the truth, but you have no spirit? You become legalistic, right? You're just like, this is the truth, and I'm just going to be... You're kind of like a methodical person. You have no heart. You have no spirit. See, I think true conversion is a person that is a worshiper. A true worshiper in spirit and truth. It's in their heart, their mind, their thought, their priority. Everything about them is towards God. And also, their truth. They have to know the truth. You know, you can't just be an emotional person and not know the truth. So it's critical that we have both. It's critical that we have the Spirit, and it's critical that we have the truth. So I think, you know, and this is, like I said, I just want us to think about this thing. In Timothy, it talks about watching your life and doctrine carefully. You know, you just can't have the life and no doctrine. You can't have doctrine and you have no life. Your life and doctrine is got to be on par with each other. You know, we use that illustration a lot of time on a plane. You know, which wing is the most important wing? You know, is it this wing or is it this wing? You know, we need both wings or we'll crash, right? And so in the same way, I think true conversion is a worshiper that is in spirit and in truth. He needs to have the heart and also the truth. And so, you know, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at a few basic things in helping people come to be a true worshiper. You know, and we talk a lot about sharing our faith. You know, when we go out, we share our faith. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean to you when I say share your faith? What does that come to your mind? What is the first thing that comes to your mind when it says share your faith? John? Mm-hmm.
And then people can see something different.
Letting them see your life, mm-hmm. Sharing your faith. Who else? Lot?
I think it's changed for me as well. It used to be just inviting people to church and like Bible talk and Bible discussions. But now it's more about sharing what God has done for me and also taking the opportunity to build friendships so that they are able to see my life and how it reflects Christ.
Sure. Like,
yeah, I'd say, I mean, kind of similar, she said, because I used to be like, hey, my phone's off. But I think now it's more of like, you know, spreading the gospel and trying to make really cool connections that might that have blown my mind and might be able to blow people's minds and give a little, you know, factual evidence. I use circumcision a lot. As a sense of like, where did that come from? That when it made sense way back then, right? It's first introduced, unless God introduced it. And to then just being like, hey, I'd love to get to study with you. And then if they're whatever, give them my number. And then like, oh, by the way, we do a fun talk this time. And just trying to connect with people and being really understanding. Like, I talked to a guy who's Islamic. And I was like, yeah, man, I'd love to sit down and see if I can show you stuff. And if you want to show me stuff, but, you know, I'd love to hear what you have to say. I'm just trying to be funny. So.
Okay. Who else? Steve?
I've been focused a lot on what Jesus did. He was always trying to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
And in different ways, different circumstances, different. But he was, you know, like the woman that touched him to get healed. You know, he's turning around trying to find her in the crowd. He wanted to zero in and have that, you know, connection. Or the man at the pool, you know, Jesus had a couple of conversations with him. He's trying to have a connection. Sometimes it was successful, sometimes not, depending on how they responded. But that, you know, he was trying to have that one-on-one connection and point him to God in some way.
Right. You connecting with people. Who else? What is it sharing your faith mean?
I guess for me, like a lot of people have said, it's changed, but just focusing on talking about God, talking about Jesus, and not like sharing my faith about Jesus and then that talk about like what God has done in my life, but just focusing on just like talking about Jesus basically.
Yeah.
Like what is their thoughts on it, or like if people visit here, like what is it about God that you're searching for, and that usually leads to deeper conversation.
Okay. Great.
I think meeting people where they're at, like I always just pray that God, as I go about my day, that God brings people across my path for a reason. And I met a lady this weekend and it's just like I just connected with her where she was at and just became her friend.
Yeah.
And she
sure.
Like wants to get back with me and you know, so it's just a friendship that started.
That,
you know, may turn into her salvation, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Having, you know, looking for people, praying, listening to the Spirit, you know, moving, You know, we're going to look at this one episode in Jesus here, John chapter 4 here, and we are already there. So we're going to look at verse 4. We're going to look at how Jesus shared his faith, all right? Verse chapter 4 here, it says, "Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciple had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritan.' Jesus answered, 'If you knew the gift of God and who is it that asks you for a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw from the well, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flock and herds?' Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water.' He told her, 'Go call your husband and come back.' 'I have no husband,' she replied. Jesus said to her, 'You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have five husbands, and the man you are now and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'I can see that you are a prophet. Our father worshiped on this mountain, but the Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem.' Jesus declared, 'Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritan worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has not come when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshiper must worship in spirit and in truth." You know, this is an amazing story. You know, here we see how Jesus shared his faith. You know, he's tired. He's going through Samaria, and he's tired. He sits down by a well. And a woman comes out in 6 hours. That's middle in the afternoon. So she's coming out to draw water, and he starts this conversation with her, you know. And as we read on, she's kind of like, wow, this guy is really getting close to me. And so she's diverting all these things, you know. She's talking about worshiping here, and you know, she's trying to divert the conversation somewhere else, but Jesus kept coming back to what was really needed. And I think what she really needed was forgiveness and acceptance. You know, and so, you know, as we go about sharing our faith, I think sometimes we will encounter people that are not necessarily spiritual, or they're diverting stuff. You know, and I think we got to remember to share what God has done for us. You know, what Jesus is talking to the lady here, and what she really was wanting is forgiveness and acceptance. You know, I think the first thing we got to be, and a lot of us are really good at this, and I really admire you guys, you know, being friendly, you know, striking up a conversation. You know, it's you know, some people do it like that. It's really easy. Hey, how you doing? And some people have to really work up, you know, like, okay, I'm more introverted, and I need to you know, work up stuff. I need to think about how am I going to segue into this. And so, you know, but I think being friendly, looking for ways, using situation, using your kids, using, you know, things that are you guys have in common. You know, I know I talk a lot about our kids. We love football. So, you know, my daughter is into the 49ers, and one of us a Bronco, and I'm a Bears fan. So when people wear Bronco shirt, I'm going to go talk to them. And I don't do that to every one of them, but more, chances are I will, you know, just to kind of, there's something there. And so look for opportunity. Jesus, tired, sat by the well, strike the conversation with this woman, and things happen. change in her life, and for the people in that town as well. You know, I think we gotta be good at reaching out to people without any agendas. Now, I think sometimes as we are in the church for a long, long time, we have all these agendas. You know, hey, I'm reaching out to you, I'm trying to get you to be a Christian. You know, we have all these thoughts. Okay, I'm going to study with you, and you know, like, just reach out with people, being friendly, reach out to people without any agendas. The worst thing you can do is they'll be your friends.
Right.
You know, you will gain a friend, and I think that's how we have to approach sharing our faith, is without any agendas. You know, being secure in who you are, you know, having those private victories connected to God, so that you're not trying to work from the outside in. You're working from the inside out. So having that, you know, talking to people without any agenda. Look at Matthew chapter 4 here. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. Somebody read 18 and 22 here. Yes.
As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake. They were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him.
Great, thank you. What do you guys see here? How did Jesus, what did he do here? What do you see in this passage?
He spoke to them in a way they would understand, by saying, "Follow me and I will send you out to fish for people," because they're fishermen,
mm-hmm.
so they can get a visual.
Yeah, right? He uses their language. They can understand that they're fishermen. Exactly. Who else? Blake?
Maybe just knowing their hearts, he knew that they really wanted something more than just to be fishermen. It just really made a difference.
Okay.
Especially in the culture, you know, Jewish culture, if they weren't like a student of the rabbi, or they obviously, you know, like, memorize the scripture, right, or whatever. And they're probably like, "Oh, snap, this guy's like calling us to follow him, talk about God, and we aren't anything special. Cool, let's do it." So,
giving them a new vision for themselves, right? Who else? What do you see here?
I think it's interesting because it says, as Jesus was walking. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on and says, going on from there. It was kind of like, it was something he just did as he went about his life. It wasn't this, okay, I'm going to go find my 12 guys and we're going to, it wasn't that. It was kind of just who he was.
Right. Right. It's true. It's true. You know, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, it says, as he was just walking, you know, he walked by, you know, different people, and he encounters so many different people. But in this particular, it says he was there by the sea. He saw some fishermen, and he gave them a new vision. He talked to them in their language that they can understand. You know how sometimes we're in the kingdom real long, we use these kingdom lingo that nobody understands? Except us, you know, like, you know, we're sitting, you know, studies, and we're like, hey, how was that D time? Like, people are like, what is D time? You know, and so I think sometimes we have to use language that people can relate to. You know, we can't use lingo that only us, you know, will understand. I think be like Jesus. Use those language. Be with the people. You know, we're going to look at another one, at Acts chapter 16 here. Acts chapter 16, verse 11. So we're going to look at a few, just, you know, how people share their faith. Acts 16. Somebody read verse 11 through 15 here. Go ahead.
So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Nicopolis. And from there, Athens, a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized, and her whole household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us.
Okay. What do you guys see here? How do they share their faith in this situation here?
They tried to find a place where they could. And they just went to a place where they figured people would be connecting with God and just kind of direct that connection.
Okay. Yeah. They're going to find a place to pray, right? They're looking for a prayer to pray. And when they got there was a bunch of women that had gathered, right? So So what else do you see in this passage here? What stuck out to you?
They just talked with them. They spoke with the women, and the Lord opened up Lydia's heart.
Okay.
So it just seemed like God's Holy Spirit and leading them, like, okay, let's go find a place to pray. And again, the obedience, they're speaking with the women, so you just obey. God moves.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I think sometimes we can be very, very dull. You know? We're going to go out to pray. They could have been like, you know what? We came here to pray. We're not going to talk to these people. We're going to go and pray. Mm-hmm. You know? And the people are there. They're sitting there talking. And they could have done that. I think sometimes we walk around and we're spiritual minded. We're like, okay, I need to go read my Bible. But there's people around you. And sometimes we're so focused, they could be like, we're just gonna go pray. But no, they didn't do it. They shared their faith when an opportunity presented itself. And they took that opportunity and talked to people. And it says God opened Lydia's heart. You know, I think, you know, in Corinthians, it talks about how we plant and we water, but God makes it grow. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we can plant corn and we can yell at it, like, grow, you know, and nothing, you know. All we do is plant and water, mm-hmm. and somehow it grows. God makes it grow. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we take it so much upon us. You know, when we share our faith, we're trying to help a person or something like that, and we're like doing all these things, and we're like, you know, grow, and it's not growing, and we get frustrated. We're like, okay, maybe they're not open, so we stop watering it. We go other places, try to water things and plant new things, and I think we got to do what we're supposed to do. We're farmers, you know. You know, I love that commercial. We are farmers. Bum 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 bum. You know, we're farmers. We plant, we water, and God's going to make it grow. And I think that takes the pressure off of us. It does. I can't make people grow. I can't make people fall in love with Jesus. I can only plant and water. And God's going to make it grow. So it takes the pressure off of you. You're not having to make people grow. And so I think just like these guys, they went out. They were going out to pray, but they met some woman. They start talking to them. So God opened Lydia's heart. And she became a disciple that day. You know, and she persuaded them to go in their house. And so I think, you know, but what I want us to understand what is happening here, when talking about Jesus, talking to the lady, the Samaritan woman at the well, as he went along, as these guys go down to a place, finding a place to pray, but they end up talking to the woman and Lydia, you know, get converted. I think we got to think it has to be a lifestyle. We can't just kind of, you know, I know this is what I've done in the past. You know, I've been challenged, like I was preaching a few weeks ago, I've been challenged to share with 75 people a day. And I did it, but it was no good. Yeah, I felt like I didn't gain anything. All I did was just, I share. People would come to church, but I didn't even know who they were because I don't remember. You know, it's just, it's a number. And so I don't, you know, and so I think as you go, just like Jesus, as you go to school, as you go to work, as you go to the park, as you go, talk to people. Share with them what God has done for you. You know, I think there are many other instances. I think about Jesus and Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He had dinner at their house. You know, they had that close relationship. You know, it's just having people in your home or going to their home, having a meal together. It's something about eating together that bonds you. You know, it's something about eating food together that it just connects you. So I think, you know, be like, you know, Jesus as he goes. You know, Peter and John healing the man at the temple gate, you know, in the book of Acts. As they were going up, they saw, you know, a man, cripple. They healed him. And they had an opportunity to share with the crowd. You know, it's taking a situation that they encounter and using that to share their faith, to tell people about God. You know, I think Jesus, you know, he went to parties. You know, he was, you know, people didn't like it that he was associating with the, you know, the sinners and eating at their house. You know, Jesus went to the parties. He went to weddings. You know, he went to dinner parties. He played with the children. You know, Jesus was just all over the place. He took every opportunity to help people get to know God. And we think about the book of Acts, you know, as they share their faith as they went along. It wasn't a campaign. You know, it wasn't like, okay, today, this week, we're going to share with 100 people each. And those are fine, but I think it's as you go along, it's more authentic.
Yeah.
It's who you are. It's a habit. It's who you are. You're not trying to manufacture this thing. You know, it's like when you're trying to manufacture this thing, it becomes really methodical, and it's just not really who you are. I think as you're connected to God, that's what I'm talking about. If you're connected to God, you can't help but talk about Jesus. If your best friend is you know, I don't know, Cam Newton, you're going to talk about Cam. You know, how great he is and what he's done and all this stuff, you know. If your best friend is Jesus, oh my gosh, guys, come. I want to tell you about this guy. He's amazing. He walks on water. Like, you know, you're going to want to talk about Jesus if you're connected to God. And so I think as we go, so the first thing I want us to think about is, you know, I have to be connected with God. And two, it needs to be a lifestyle. It needs to be a habit that I do. You know, and not necessarily trying to manufacture something. You know, I don't know if you guys get telemarketer. You know, they call you. And they're like, you know, you didn't even have a chance to answer the phone yet. They go into their spiel, right? They're like, we're trying to sell you this and this and this. And you're like, well, no, I don't want that. But you don't know how great this is. And they keep going. And you're like, look, I don't have time. And they keep going. And so you're like, okay. You know? It's like they have this high pressure thing they want to tell you. They're trying to sell you something. What they're saying is, you're lacking in this. If you don't have this knife, you're missing out. This knife will cut everything. You know, it's. They're trying to say you are missing out if you don't buy this knife. You know, and so that's telemarketing. We don't want to be telemarketer for Jesus. We don't want to be like, you know, annoying people that like talk to them like they're Jesus is your friend. Jesus is my friend. I want you to get to know him. But I'm not going to shove Jesus down your throat. You know, I'm not going to be like, you know, I think we got to respect people.
Right.
We got to see where they're at. Like the woman at the well. She wasn't, you know, she wanted forgiveness and she wanted acceptance. And that's what she's craving for. And I think every person in all of us, we want that. We want to be accepted. We want to be forgiven. There are things that I've done that I'm just flat out shameful. You know, I'm guilty. And I want forgiveness. I want people to say, hey, John, it's okay. God has forgiven you. And people are thirsty for that. You know, it's the heart. You know, he wants a worshiper of in spirit and in truth. And that's what we got to look for. You know, so, you know, I think we got to approach people differently. It has to be a lifestyle. And then, you know, but at the end here, I just want to give you a few things to think about and your homework, you know, homework. This week, I want you to read your Bible and pray and get one good, solid thing from it. One good, solid thing. And we're going to share about it next week. So don't let me forget. You know, we're going to say, what was that one thing that you got out of your Bible in your prayer this week that just, it just into you and you get it. And it's just, you know, so I not 10 things, just one. You know, just read your Bible and pray and get that one thing. And secondly, I just want you guys to be friendly. Okay? Just be friendly. Just hold the door for somebody. Hey, how you doing? I really like your shoes. Hey, where did you get that shoe from? Just being friendly. I don't have to talk about Jesus. I don't have to be, you know, anything like that. I'm just going to be friendly. I'm going to be a friendly person this week. And some of us, we are already doing that. John, I'm already friendly. That comes naturally to me. Amen. Go be more friendlier, you know. But for some of us, it's a challenge. It's like, okay, all right, I'm gonna try to be friendly. I'm going to go meet people. Not to tell them about Jesus, but just be friendly. I think you got to start there. Start there, and then we can move on to deeper things. You know, because I think sometimes we jump ahead too far. We got to just start on the simple thing. And, you know, I really appreciate Steve. He really talks about there are things you want to do, and there are things you're really good at. You know, like I want to play for the Atlanta Hawks, but look at me. I can't, you know. I want to, you know, growing up, I want to play for the Brazilian national team until somebody told me you have to be Brazilian yourself, you know, and like, don't tell me that, you know. There are things that we want to do, and then there are things we're really good at. Do what you're really good at. You're good at something. Think about things that you're really good at, and do that. That may be your gift that God has given you. And not necessarily what you want to do, but something that you're good at. And so this week, as my homework for you is to read the Bible and pray and get one solid thing. And we'll share about it next week. All right? And then for us, just to be friendly. Be friendly this week. Go out of your way. Think about a situation that you can be friendly. And I think that's where we're going to start, you know, next week. So we're going to end that here tonight. But I really think that as we build the foundation here, as evangelism as a lifestyle and not a campaign, I think we as we build our foundation, it's going to be solid so that when we're going into the studies, and we're going to talk about the studies and stuff, but I think if we don't get this part connected to God and as a lifestyle, when we get to over here, it's going to be all shaked up because we didn't get this part correct. And so it's important that we get this foundation right. All right, and so that's our thing for tonight. And I want to go home, and some of you took down these notes, read through these things and really look at it and say, you know, how did Jesus share his faith in this situation? What did he do that I can use, that I can imitate, that I can put into my life so that I can be effective like Jesus in how he dealt with people? So there's so many stories about Jesus and interaction with people. There's so many of them. You can just pick out one and just look at it and study it and to see how does he do this thing? And let me imitate some of the things that he's done. And so that's the class tonight. We're going to pray and then we'll be dismissed.